The following program is paid for by Water Innovations Foundation. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WICC or its advertisers. You're listening to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's what you're talking about this week.
Good evening, Ann Carrick here and Vincent Caprio.
Great to have you again. It's a pleasure, Ann.
Nice to have you in the studio on a rare visit. No, just kidding.
Okay.
I know. What do you mean? Come on.
No, that's right. We should have clicked on the mic a half hour ago.
What do you mean?
Well, I think our conversations out of the studio are as entertaining as in the studio.
Oh, yes. Well, we've often joked that we don't really need guests because
that's true.
The two of us could just talk for 2 hours. I'm not sure anybody would still be listening, but we would have a great conversation.
That's true.
You know, our topic for today is health and technology. But before we jump right into that, a couple of things that happened recently, I'm sure both of us have opinions on. You know, one being the court ruling regarding the health care bill, saying that it's unconstitutional, I guess, to force people to buy health insurance if they just because they can afford it. Do you think that's going to have an effect on the overall health care bill, given the change in Congress that's coming?
Well, it's pretty apparent that the GOP is committed to dismantling President Obama's health care reform. So they have the legislative track, and many of those same members of the GOP were enthusiastic about this court challenge. So now they have a two-track way to dismantle it. And many of the constitutional scholars have said, this will go to the Supreme Court of the United States, and they will not allow an appellate court to decide something as important
as this.
That's
important, yeah.
Yes.
But even if that one point, I mean, you know, I guess well, the way bills are, you know, it'll mess up. The whole thing will be delayed until they figure out what the Supreme Court's going to say about it.
Well, they're not going to wait for the Supreme Court. They're going to try to defund the President Obama health care reform.
Oh, no, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that, but that one point, I don't know, it's, you know, it seems like it's going to be a lot of political wrangling.
Yes.
Where, because that's the only way, I guess, that they can undo it, it would be nicer if there was a way to just vote again, and if that's what they really want to do, and just vote it out, but I guess it doesn't work that way.
No, it's very difficult putting the toothpaste back in the tube.
You need a funnel. That's
yes.
all.
Yes. Have you tried to do that? I've used that.
Okay, now that you've asked me that, I actually, you know, the little tiny tubes that are great for travel.
I have
taken the big tube and put it up against the little tube and squished it in there to force it back into the little tube so that I could travel with it. So yes, I have done that without a funnel.
And you know, I've been using that cliche since Watergate. You know, that came from John Dean in the testimonies in Watergate. You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And so I've been using that for 27 years.
And I've ruined it for you.
You sort of have now. I didn't realize that.
Sorry about that, Vincent.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Well, you just have to know how.
So back
to the healthcare bill. Yes.
And what's really interesting about it, there are people that say states require you to have car insurance, you know, as an argument for a state requiring you.
But driving is a privilege.
Thank you.
Breathing and living is kind of, you're just here.
It's funny to hear elitists say that argument because they often forget there's a lot of people that don't drive.
And they don't have insurance.
Right, and you can choose not to drive, but you can't choose what would be implemented. And everybody also forgets the IRS is who would implement the penalties, and that they don't mention that on the news very often.
You mean if you didn't buy
health
insurance?
They've estimated that it would take that we would have to hire 40,000 more people to work at the IRS to implement those penalties.
Well, and I said from the beginning, depending on what the penalties are, you know, if somebody really doesn't want to, the penalty would be cheaper than the health insurance, depending on what the penalties are. I mean, I haven't seen a table of what the penalties would be based on what income level. I'm not sure.
It wasn't.
There's a lot of gray area in there.
That's true.
Yeah. So, all right. So the other thing that's happened recently, of course, is the tax bill.
Oh, yes.
So the compromise, I guess, was to give everybody the tax cut, which not everyone was happy about, but some people are.
Well, what was interesting, on our show on November 2nd, I said that it was commonly known within the Beltway that President Obama had tossed in the towel and was going to extend the Bush-era tax rates. It was the worst-kept secret. Everybody knew about it. And if you go to realclearpolitics.com, which is a great website for political junkies, it had been reported on that website since the spring, the summer, the fall. His economic team never wanted to increase taxes on anyone. And that's the reason why he didn't fight it. And everyone knew after the election he was going to extend the Bush-era tax rates.
So why are his supporters so surprised?
It's amazing to me.
Where's the shock?
You know, and it's interesting. If you go, I had vicious arguments with people on Facebook. There's a great woman on some of my people on Facebook that are on the left, and I informed them in early November that the Obama administration had thrown in the towel on this, and they said, "Where did you get that information?" And I start sending people links to all these articles on realclearpolitics.com, and there was numerous articles about how he walked away from it. So it was no surprise. I mean, I guess the people on the far left were the only ones surprised when he walked into the room a week ago last Monday and said, compromise.
Yeah. Hello.
Right. John Boehner, did you see 60 Minutes?
I missed it.
Oh, he refused to use the word compromise in 60 Minutes.
What did he say instead?
He says accommodating, and then Leslie Stahl said, you can't even use the word compromise. He said, no, I cannot use the word compromise.
And was he talking about what the president had done?
Yes.
So he was...
Yes.
He refused
the word. It's kind of like Ralph Graham did in the Honeymooners. I think he couldn't use the word... There was words he couldn't use, and he would like... Oh, he couldn't use the word truth, I think. And he'd go...
I didn't watch that show enough to know that, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
You're too young. It debuted in 1948.
Yeah, so it's a little before my time.
It was way before your time, but I caught the reruns in the early 60s.
Right. So he didn't want to say compromise because he didn't think it was a compromise. He thought it was more that the president just gave in.
He also doesn't believe that his role is to compromise. So he doesn't like to use the word compromise.
Boehner doesn't believe he should be compromising, that his role is not to compromise.
Right, and the Republican Party. So he doesn't use the word compromise.
So what does he think, since I missed it, what did he call that? If it's not a compromise, what? Just an agreement?
Agreement.
All right.
Because she really asked him twice. She said, so you will not use the word compromise? He said, no. I will not use the word compromise.
Well, I guess compromise has the connotation that you've given in on certain principles or ideals that you supposedly believed in, whereas if you come up with a common agreement, then in theory you've all worked it out so that you're all on the same page, but you didn't make any concessions.
Right.
Could he use the word concession, or was that off the list too?
No, he used the word concessions too. But he will not use the word compromise.
Now I'm really sorry I missed it. I was.
I think you can go.
I was en route and missed it, but
you
I
can go. It's on.
I'm sure I can go watch it online.
Oh, it's online. Yes.
Oh yeah.
No doubt about it.
All right.
It's amazing they have everything on YouTube. You know that.
Well, that's because everybody records everything and post it.
I mean, if you want to go...
It's not YouTube. It's us who's putting things up there.
But if you want to go watch Lee Harvey Oswald get shot by Jack Ruby 1,000 times a day, you can. It's really unbelievable.
Because somebody who owns the rights to that footage posted it.
Well, I think it's in the public domain, but what's... For political junkies, you can go see the same things over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm sure that one that's up there now being watched a lot is the football game where the Jets coach trip.
Right.
I've seen that one on regular network news a million times. I'm like, all right, he stuck his knee out and he tripped the guy. He said he tripped him. He said he's an idiot. Okay, can we move on now?
He's been suspended for the whole year.
Yeah, and
no playoffs, nothing.
And his future employment is still under discussion, I believe was the way they worded it.
Right, but he also on 60 Minutes, Boehner cried again. He cried on 60 Minutes.
About what this time?
I know. Well, he.
I mean, last time I felt like already it's a very emotional time. But
yes.
What was he crying about this time?
Leslie Stahl had asked him about why you're committed, and he was talking about how he's so committed to changing America for the youth of America. And then he said he no longer can go into schools because it's so overwhelming to him to see our problems, and he can't reconcile them. And then they started crying when he talked about going into schools and that he can't go into schools anymore. And then he got all choked up and was crying, and he said, it reminds me of the background I came from.
Okay.
And that's about the third time he's publicly cried. So that's
not that there's anything wrong with crying under, but I think I'm losing something in the translation here as to why it was so emotional, but okay.
It's emotional because it reminds him of his background.
Of growing
being
up.
Being impoverished.
Right.
But also.
I got that.
Okay, but then also, he feels that our problems are very overwhelming, and he needs to help resolve our problems so these children have a future.
Right.
Now, it became a subject of debate on The View yesterday. So on The View.
Which I didn't see that either. I was at work.
Both of us work in the middle of the day. But I get to see the... So on The View, they were saying if Nancy Pelosi had cried, they'd say she was weak. So all the women on The View were all agreeing.
Even Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, they said it's a double standard.
It is.
It's a double standard.
No, I agree with you on that one. Because if a man cries, then they're like, oh, he actually
right.
It has feelings. Whereas if a woman cries,
she's weak.
Just an emotional wreck.
Right.
She's a blabbering idiot or something. But when you talk about schools, this is like a whole nother show.
Yes. We're going to do an education show.
I know. But
I
having,
promise you that.
I know. We will jump into this deeper. But having spent a lot of time in the schools doing teaching, not as a full-time mm-hmm. teacher, but there,
right.
So many of the problems, the things that distract from what you're trying to do are behavior related, or they have nothing to do with the actual information. And even as a student myself, I remember thinking I just wanted them to divide up the people who are problems and just put them all in a class together so that those of us who are actually trying to listen and pay attention and learn something could do it, because we'd have done it in half the time and learned twice as much. But there's nobody who would vote to agree with me on that one, as far as, take all the people who are behavior problems and move them in a classroom together. Those children's parents would be outraged.
Right.
You know?
Actually, I graduated from high school in 75 and graduated from 8th grade in 71. And in my day, they did track. They had tracking. So they would divide up the top class, the second to the top, and they worked away all the way down. I was tracked.
Whereas when I went through, they were into the homogeneous.
Yes.
They want to mix them all up.
Now, I'm on the Eastern Learning Foundation, and I shared that story, and I was tracked with the top group. And somebody told me, I guess it's been illegal in most states since the mid-70s. They stopped tracking.
Exactly. And the theory that they put behind it, or at least what they stated theory, was that if you put all levels of students together, then the, quote, slower learners or whatever will be encouraged and motivated by the brighter ones. Where, for example, if you put all of the behavior problems or all of the slow learners together, then they're just going to be slow. Whereas if you have a mix, maybe the slower learners will learn how to learn faster. I think what really happens is the faster learners just get bored, and then they daydream, and they feel like, I always felt like my time was being wasted in school. I was like, just give me the work and then leave me alone so I can do it, because I have other things to do.
Right. And actually, I was tracked, so I was about 17th out of the class. And Lawrence Mann, who was on our show once, was number 9. And my number 1 is the chief economist for the Bank of America. He has a PhD, studied under Milton Friedman. And so actually, it helped me because it made me more competitive and it pushed me farther. Now, if I was not tracked, I would have just been, probably not, it wouldn't have been as competitive.
I'm sure. And I guess if you want to be divided up, that you have to go to a private school.
Yes.
That's a lot of money. Or you have to be in a town or a city that has like a magnum school or whatever, or magnet school, where you can go with, you know, where they have special classes for gifted
right.
learners or something.
Right.
But good luck trying to get into one of those.
Right.
I mean, for the number of people who qualify intellectually, there's nowhere near enough room for all of them.
Right.
I mean, Bridgeport has a great magnet school system, but they can't accommodate all the people who would excel there.
Nope.
So, all right. So before we blabber for the entire hour, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk to our first guest, Mustafa Enaloui, and talk about healthcare and technology and your health and how it all ties together. Right now, a quick break right here on This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. We'll be right back.